This is Halftime The Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show The Playmakers, airs on WANM FM 90.5 every Saturday from 12:30 to 2. It's the one and only Jeffrey Hill Jr. repping the DMV in the Atlanta area. In today's show, we'll be talking about FAMU lost to FAU, highlighting back what happened in week 2 of the college football rim and previewing some great matchups in week 3, as well as ending off the show talking about the devastating loss the Chiefs took Friday night. But with these great, amazing topics, I have some amazing guys in the studio to help me out. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
Man, it's Slim Trim, back in the studio, back in the cut.
It's your boy Jay Scott telling you what's hot, what's not on WANM FM 90.5, the Flavor Station.
What's up? It's your boy Deant, back at it again.
Yo, it's Wes from the 904 Duval in the building.
What's up, y'all? It's Flowwood's finest, Kajal Attica, Reverend Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
It's your favorite host, the one that do the most. It's your favorite country Nigerian, Fees.
With that being said, fellas, let's hop right into it. FAMU football.
Oh, boy.
We're walking in 0-2 now, going into week 3. We lost to FAU 56-14. Fellas, what do we think?
Listen, man. You know, sometimes, you know, you gotta play big brother. And, you know, when you play big brother, you lose a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just happens. You know, not much to say.
How much did we get paid for this game?
I don't know. Jalen?
Not enough. I'm gonna be real. Because even if you look at, like, the breakdowns of everything with how much you want to, you know, bring a team to travel, it's really not worth what happened. Not a lot of great takeaways from this game. One upside, I guess you can say, is that they got on the board for one. That's a start. You
know, hey, we had two touchdowns.
We had two touchdowns.
Yeah.
They were only outscored 17-14 in the second half, so they kept up with FAU.
Shut them out in the third.
Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't able to get started early, and I think that's where you're going to see a lot of this roster shakeup coming from Coach Colsey in his press conference. Following the game, he was saying that we could see a whole roster overturn. Every player's position is up for grabs. We saw some elevated minutes from Jordan Edwards at receiver. He didn't really have a lot of touches in the game in Miami where they played against Howard. Right now, I think FAMU is still just trying to find their identity as a team this season. It's going to be a big gut check coming against Albany State. It's no pushover team. They're coming off of an undefeated record in Division II level. Playing at home, obviously, the first home game is something that you want to bring a lot of juice and energy to, but the Rattlers got to figure it out fast, because it only gets harder from here.
If we go 0-3 to start the season, you think they'll let me suit up?
No, I wasn't going to ask that. See, now we're trolling. I was going to ask you guys, if we don't win this home opener against a Division II school, what does that say about us?
What that says about us is that we still don't have an identity. Like, if you think about it, last year, a lot of the games was actually lost, but it was actually won because of one person, and that was Daniel Richardson. Now we don't got that dynamic playmaker no more. Like, a lot of Coach Cozy's falls are starting to show. For instance, we could go back to when we lost our streak against Mississippi Valley State.
Man.
Like a lot of things showed that game about his coaching style and his coaching ability to adjust and strategize. Like, the Howard game, it's a game that should have been lost. We left too many points on the board. Like, Jalen emphasizes over and over again, the amount of points that we leave on in the red zone, yeah, turn field goals into touchdowns. Like, just imagine we was in the red zone against Howard 3 times and only got 3 field goals.
One thing is going to be really interesting, because, I mean, we talked about it going into last week, was at the quarterback position. I mean, RJ Johnson III, he went into his second start. I know they talked about a lot of, you know, roster overturn, but that's actually one of the positions that is solidified as going to return as a starter going into next game. What I think it says about him and his character is that he has very good control of the locker room. The guys trust him. They're going to back him. I haven't seen anybody FAMU-wise have anything negative to say about how he's been playing. Now, you know,
we're just
some college guys with some mics and just happen to know a little bit of football. But in terms of the command of his locker room, how he wants to dictate his offense, I think unless we see just an absolute stinker against, you know, Albany State, this is our QB1 going forward. And now it's about building him up rather than pointing out his flaws, because I mean, we've seen what he looks like over the last 2 weeks, and it really can only go up from here.
Now, I had a conversation earlier with somebody close to FAMU football, and I was told Coach Cozy really likes Johnson, but the rest of the staff, coordinators, they want the backup. They want him to start. because they don't think Johnson, you know, has what it takes to lead the team.
He entered the game against FAU, but I think it was because Johnson needed to come out.
And went 1 for 7 for 5 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cozy thinks that Johnson has, you know, the it factor to be a QB1 and take them to the Celebration Bowl. I don't think that's going to happen.
Celebration Bowl.
We're lucky to break 500 this season.
Wait.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
But it's like, I mean, we can say that let's not get ahead of ourselves, but we're actually not even out of the Celebration Bowl pictures if y'all really think about it.
We haven't played a swag game yet. Very true.
So the loss against Howard, that shows our level of competition against MEAC. Y'all know MEAC is just a more bigger opponent, and usually when SWAC teams play against the MEAC, that's where SWAC teams struggle at, because SWAC got all speed, well, MEAC got the size. Now, the game against FAU, I take that with a grain of salt, because that's not even supposed to be a competitive game.
Yeah.
The only thing with that, though, is like, you got to show some kind of competition.
What you mean?
The second half they did.
Yeah, true. But it was the same. We lost by the same amount of points that the school in Daytona did to Miami. I feel like FAU being a lower level FBS program, it needs to be a bit more competitive.
Miami took their starters out in the second quarter.
Time out, country. Before we get to score predictions, time out, country. Are you saying we can win the SWAC East?
I think what he's saying is that you can't necessarily rule out the possibility because we haven't played a SWAC game yet. Because we've seen teams completely turn their whole thing around.
Yeah, but I just don't know where we're gonna start.
Remember, do y'all believe this?
Do y'all believe that we can? But like, if y'all were betting y'all money on it, would y'all bet that we turn the season around?
Well, I mean, we can't. Like Country was saying
with the MEAC teams, usually in the Celebration Bowl, you see the MEAC teams, they always come in with a 6-5 record or a 7-4 record. They have a lot of losses on their schedule, but that the MEAC records are always deceptive because they're always losing games in the season, and they're losing to each other. But once they make it to the Celebration Bowl, then you know it's just up to the game at that point.
I about to say I don't know. I just say let's just take these two. The one against Howard that really did hurt. We lost on a last second field goal. We lost that game. You feel me? They didn't beat us. We lost that game ourselves. Now this one, I don't look at those games like as anything, because that's a Division I FBS opponent. They're not supposed to. We're not even supposed to be in the game.
I'll come back to you, Country. I'm going to ask you this question again when we play Alabama State, and that's in 2 weeks. I'm just going to ask you though, okay?
Okay.
But to end off the segment, fellas, score prediction: Albany State Division II. What's the score prediction? Home opener. What are we thinking?
There's got to be a win. We're in Bragg, you know. We're starting off slow. We gotta flip the season. We gotta win this game. We gotta win the home opener. I'm gonna say we win. Always gotta roll with the Rattlers. We win. I'm gonna say 17-7.
I'm going 20-10.
I'm going 30-16.
30. Oh my gosh.
Wait, are these wins from y'all?
Yes.
Wins. Wins.
Yes.
Positive, man. Positive.
Yeah.
Speak it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say it. 28-23. I got Albany State winning.
I was saying 28-17 Albany State.
Oh, my goodness. Man,
our defense is pretty good, guys. These are high scores.
Wait, I got a question, though. For the ones that's saying this, right, what are y'all basing that Albany team off of?
The fact that they are undefeated. They're coming in with a lot of juice.
I understand that, but look at it.
FAMU looks as deflated as a balloon. I don't think they got any heart. Right now, I'm keeping it honest.
Against who do we play that true will just say, oh my god, if we lost to Southern 56-14, we lost to Howard.
I think we didn't score a touchdown.
I just feel with these potential roster changes, it's like, we can't just expect to flip the switch
exactly.
Like that.
Because this isn't a game you're supposed to just try stuff out with. I feel like
we're going to figure out something with a loss.
It's not like you're playing Lincoln from 2 years ago. So it's like.
Hey, bro, I called a 10-point
win. Do y'all not remember how we played a Division II opponent the last time we were here?
It was tight.
University of West Florida. They almost got us. Albany State is not that far behind.
We beat University of West Florida 31-10.
Do you not remember the game was tight in the third quarter.
Always in the third quarter.
Late in the third,
we still won 31-10.
You're right.
I'll say my score prediction. That was also the Celebration Bowl team too.
I'll say my score prediction.
We still won 31-10.
I think it's gonna be 24-10. Us.
I like that. I'm gonna go 27-14. But don't sleep, man. Quinn Gray. He was a name that was thrown around for the head coaching job here at FAMU in the first place. So this is gonna be a personal game for him. He's played here at Florida A&M. He's got a well-coached team at Albany State. Please be on the lookout, but I still do like us.
And Jalen, when we talked about that and they told us why they chose Coach Cozy over him, it was more so because Cozy was who the players wanted.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the school actually wanted Coach Graves from
And that's why I said it's going to be a bit personal.
And I think a lot of what I didn't understand was a lot of the players that wanted Coach Cozy to come ultimately left after he got the job, which made no sense, but I digress.
But we will see this Saturday, home opener. Now, fellas, week two of college football took place this past weekend, and we had a prime time matchup as number 15 Michigan went into Norman and lost to the Oklahoma Sooners.
You know, this game really showed who knows ball, because I came into this game last week on the pod and I was like, we know what Michigan is going to do. They're going to try and run that ball. And Oklahoma knows what Michigan is going to do. And Oklahoma has a diverse offense. And Oklahoma went and stacked the box and kept them from running the ball. And Oklahoma went out there and threw the ball like I said they would. John Mateer looks like a real deal quarterback. And I just know ball, you know. I told you what was going to happen and it happened.
Hey, talk your stuff.
So what is y'all takeaways from the game?
What my takeaway from the game is Bryce Underwood is not ready.
Whoa. That's not what I took away from the game.
Hey, look. Reason why I say that is because Michigan don't have the capable team around him.
That doesn't mean he's not ready. That's just not backwards.
That's not wrong with Bryce Underwood.
No. Because what you could do for a young player that young is you could literally stop his growth.
Yes, they have training wheels on him. They need to let him hoop.
But they're not letting him hoop. Time out. But how is he going to hoop and your best threat is your tight end?
Is your tight end. Come on.
I actually liked what I saw.
So you think what Michigan is doing, running the ball, how many times they ran it? 32 times a game. And you're averaging, 4.6. But when you're running at that volume, yeah, you're going to be that efficient. But you're not moving the ball. You had 13 points the whole game.
But if you're coach Moore and you knew you're going to get Bryce Underwood and you're on your team, you should have already been working in the transfer portal. You should already been building up to that point because you knew he was coming in the building.
Coach Moore's on the hot seat.
Go ahead. Coach Moore. And they said this so many times. They kept saying, we just need a capable quarterback to complement our run game. We need a capable quarterback to complement our receivers. We need a capable quarterback to complement our run, our line.
That was the biggest thing last year.
That was last year. Y'all had Colston Loveland. Y'all had a first-round tight end.
They did all this to take Bryce Underwood away from LSU to say this is what the team was going to be just for y'all to literally just be paying him $10 million to hand the ball off?
Let me also add, Alex Orji could have did the same thing Bryce Underwood did.
Same exact thing.
Well, I saw things out of Bryce Underwood that I don't think Alex Orji can do. I don't think I don't think he had like an amazing game, but I saw him get outside of the pocket, get off the platform, and like make a play. And I saw him draw on the defense, throw it over the top, get a first down. Like I saw like good signs out of Bryce Underwood. I don't say like he's a true freshman. Like this is good signs for them. They need to build for next year. And they need to come and get some receivers from Michigan.
Talking about mind you, you said all this, but only 9 completions. Now I get 24. I think it was 15. I didn't know.
So this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, Wes. And what I'm saying is like y'all, they might be hurting Bryce Underwood more than helping him, because it's like, bro, he's gonna have to play a capable schedule this year. He's gonna have to see them Oklahomas again and again and again. But it's like if he doesn't have the team around him, he's gonna start questioning his ability to play quarterback.
I don't necessarily think that.
But I'm just saying that could happen. You don't know what his mindset would be.
I just think the lights were a bit too bright for Bryce Underwood. I mean, we could see that with Michigan not scoring for the entire first half, but it's not the end of the world for them. Just like it wasn't the end of the world for Arch last week, it's not going to be the end of the world for Michigan. They still got some weak Big Ten teams to beat up on, so they got have time to figure it out.
I think this is more about Oklahoma State than it is about Michigan.
Oklahoma State lost 69. My fault. I'm tripping.
But yeah, I think Mateer, I think he really put, like, playing on that primetime game, I think he put the world on notice. Because I think he's a top 3 Heisman candidate right now.
Me too. I absolutely agree.
He has that same juice that I seen from Baker Mayfield in 2018.
I got a question, right? When it comes to the Heisman favor, could we talk about Heisman hopefuls when they get into conference play? Because everybody because y'all remember last year, Nico looked like that. Like a dog. Mm-hmm. Then he got a conference play.
I hate the way too early Heisman conversation.
You got to keep track of it as the season progresses, because you don't want to just start it when conference play starts and somebody just starts popping off.
The guys
you
I have
see it
in
from
my
the beginning of the season.
My so, Heisman so, race, I've only played ranked teams. Like I got John Mateer and Garrett Nussmeier as my two Heisman guys, and those guys have both won ranked games. And easy. I think those but, have
I don't know. I don't
themselves.
Know. So, that so game against Louisiana Tech.
It was pretty bad. I would say this though. he does have an easy schedule the rest of the way.
Who?
Materia? No, not Materia. Bryce Underwood.
Oh, it's Cade.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They play Central Michigan next week.
Central Michigan and Nebraska, who Dylan Raiola is actually looking a little bit, But then you go to
Wisconsin, USC.
They may finish the season with two losses.
Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland.
And then you got Ohio State.
USC should be a good test for Bryce.
It's not going to be a test.
I don't think so.
I think he'll be able to show some things. I think they're going to win, but I think it'll be a good game.
I'll say the biggest test that he has to go to before he goes to Ohio State is the game against Nebraska. Just because they're going to Norman, Oklahoma. Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah. My bad. They just went to Norman.
Yeah, but I mean, speaking of Oklahoma, I think John Materia looks amazing. He can make whatever throw he wants to. And I think that's something Oklahoma really benefits from, a quarterback that's not afraid to take risk and actually throw the ball.
But Michigan's defense also did not do them justice. And I'm going to say, I hope y'all remember, it was second and eight. And I don't remember who the cornerback was. He dropped the interception twice. Once in his hand, got knocked out, and then fell right back in his hand and it got dropped.
Listen, that's why he plays defense.
The next following play, it was a 60-yard play all the way to the 5-yard line, then they scored. So I'm just like, that little turning point right there, that could have been a change.
Hey man, sometimes you get lucky and you know,
sometimes you don't.
Yeah, like that happens.
Another interesting game happened in Jalen.
Go Bulls! My fault. That was
and Jalen, you were there to witness that upset as USF came in the swamp and defeated Florida.
I would like to say, I literally called the playmakers on the way to Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, and I told you guys, be on the lookout for what may happen in Gainesville. Everybody kind of laughed. They shrugged it off. Florida's going to find a way. For four quarters, I saw a disheveled and undisciplined and all-around unmotivated Florida team that I haven't seen since probably Dan Mullen's last year coaching there.
Yeah.
In terms of the offensive play calling and control of the clock, I think was a Billy Napier disaster class. In terms of the amount of penalties that they had, they can question about the phantom calls for the touchdowns that got called back. I was sitting there dang near at the 25-yard line. Holds that weren't even called. The one touchdown that USF threw, like the one bomb, Florida had 12 men on the field. That's why they threw the ball up in the first place. It would have been another flag. So in terms of undisciplined, uncharacteristic play from the defense, they weren't able to stop the run. Byrum Brown made it look like he was the second coming of JD5 out there. All around, I think Florida really needs to have a top-to-bottom reset on what they want this season to look like. Because I let you know right now that they have the hardest schedule.
Hey, I'm about to run down their schedule. I wanted you to say that so I could run down their schedule.
Go ahead.
Wait. Before I got to that, my group of six sleeper team.
It was USF.
USF. USF has the chance to do the funniest thing ever and run the state of Florida if they beat my Hurricanes next week.
Hey, I want to tell you something. That's not going to happen. But that was a nice little throw in there. But let me go to the schedule first before I come back
to
my
thing. Yeah,
go to the schedule. All right, so
I think Billy Napier is going to be fired within the next 2 weeks. And I'm going to tell you why. And y'all tell me if y'all got wins or y'all got losses.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you.
Bro. Yeah, okay. I got a win on FSU.
Starting this week. In Death Valley at LSU.
Loss.
Baldwin in Miami.
Loss.
Play Texas.
Loss.
At Texas A&M.
Loss.
Give me. I'm a call the win. Do you know why? Because come October, they seem to flip the switch and they find a way to do it. And I don't like what I've seen out of.
But if you start off.
So wait. Do you think he's going to make it to Texas A&M?
No, I don't. However,
coach is going to take him over.
I think across the board, Florida matches very well with Texas A&M. Texas A&M has a horrible secondary right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida's receivers, as you know, controversial as they play the last 2 weeks, they have some top to bottom. Vernell Brown, dog.
Trey Wilson, dog. So here goes another game. I think I got to win for this one. Mississippi State.
We don't know because they just beat Arizona State.
Then they got the biggest cocktail game
L
against Georgia.
Big L.
Kentucky.
Kentucky didn't look really good against Ole Miss.
Even Kentucky, it's a home
Kentucky
game.
Kentucky gave him a fight. Kentucky gave Ole Miss a fight.
Then the last three games is on the road against Ole Miss, Tennessee, and then they at home.
They're going to beat Florida State.
They are not going to beat Florida State. Hey, we could. No, they're not. Hey, you guys are unranked.
No, it's part of the script. Florida State, they're going to go, they're going to be probably 9-2. They got to win this game to be in the playoff picture, and then they get upset.
Nah, I don't see that. Hey, I don't see that at all.
If you look at FSU's schedule, it's pretty favorable for FSU.
That's what I was saying. They could be 9-2, losses to Clemson and Miami, and then
I think we beat Clemson at this point.
I think they beat Miami too. I got them winning against Miami.
Nah, really? That old line that Miami's got is ridiculous.
So, question for the Florida fan.
For the Florida fan.
How long? And numerous other teams, but for the Florida fan currently.
How long do you think Billy Napier is going to... Wait, let me go back to this real quick. So the issue that's been at hand at Florida with Billy Napier is he's never had control over his team. That's been the main issue. Like, last year, I don't know where they got that switch from. Once they switched quarterbacks, that's when they started winning. That's what saved his job. But he was supposed to be out of there last year. Mm-hmm. Now he got a second year this year. Like, if you look at all the mishaps that happened last year in Florida, of course you're not going to blame the head coach. But the head coach is supposed to be the person that orchestrates
head
everything,
man in charge, CEO.
That sees everything. So it's like, you got players like, bro, you made a stop on third down. Why would you spit
the Jalen Carter special?
That's hey, bro, back-to-back weeks is nice.
Yeah, 10, 11 penalties. That's also discipline as well.
You know, I had a...
So where do y'all go from here?
I was in College Town this weekend, right? I had my Florida Gator shirt. Billy Napier Nation. Ooh. He made me look like an idiot out there. His play calling was terrible.
That last 2-minute drive, I don't know what they were thinking throwing on the first down.
You were wearing a Gators shirt in College Town?
Did he? He sent me a picture of Billy Napier Nation. I'm like,
mind
Mike,
you,
watch the game.
I went to the bathroom out there. Somebody stopped me, said, "What you wearing?" I said, "You know, go Gators." Did the little clap. He said, "Nah, not over here."
Clap.
Mind you, the game was tight. I'm thinking, yeah, we about to win. I know I talked so much trash to them. Had to get up out of there. But now Billy Napier, he's going to be out of here. I'm going to say after the Texas game. It's not going to be pretty. I think LSU will be a fight decently to keep his job.
It's always a fight.
Miami,
LSU,
in-state rivalry, be pretty decent. Florida's going to break the cleats off these boys.
I would say, I feel like with how the schedule is, I think he can get a little bit of grace with just how tough these next three games are. But
no.
I think
grace.
But the thing is, they had to be competitive.
They had
to be competitive.
This schedule had left no room for error.
Not at all.
And that South Florida game
was not supposed to be a loss.
Not at all.
It was supposed to be a tune-up.
But my thing is, going into the season, were you expecting to beat LSU, Miami, and Texas in this stretch? Anyway,
I seen Carson Beck revived and looked like how he looked 2 years ago, I expect us to beat Miami. I expect us to lose to Texas, beat LSU, beat A&M, beat Mississippi State.
You had lose to Texas.
I only had them losing to Texas and Georgia.
What?
I mean,
and one more game.
And
one
FSU,
more game,
right?
No, one more game. Maybe Tennessee or LSU.
Hey,
but
guys,
three matches. It was a 9-3 season. The toughest schedule in college football, and they made the playoffs.
I mean, you know what?
That's not that crazy to say.
Especially coming off the momentum they had last year, the longest win streak in FBS.
I would say this though, true. Like I actually do agree with you. It's not really far fetched for you to say that. But it's like, because I've heard you say worse. You mean like we've heard you say worse.
Is the bar that low?
That's what I'm saying. Like that's why it's not that far fetched. So what I'm saying is like, okay, in that stretch between LSU, Miami, and Texas, I only had him beating Miami. That's the only one that I had. And that game against LSU was going to be a tough one. Why? Because it was in Death Valley. Now, if they was playing in Gainesville, I would have been like, okay, maybe that would have been a loss for LSU. But the fact that it's in Death Valley is a different story.
So in a hypothetical world, one more last point. In a hypothetical world, let's say they go into Death Valley and beat LSU. Are our expectations changed again for the team?
Not really.
Or y'all think it's just a one-off?
I still think that's the one he got. I still think, like, you know how Billy Napier always has that one win that he gets? Mm-hmm. I think that would have been that one win. So, and my one win with that was him supposed to be beating Miami to keep his job. He was gonna lose to LSU, beat Miami, lose to Texas, and then run the table until he lost to Georgia again.
And if Florida ends up being LSU, I think that says more about Brian Kelly.
Than
Billy Napier.
Because we looked at bad against La Tech. Our defense looked at great against La Tech, but our offense was kind of a little bit shaky. But this was the point that I was trying to make earlier, fellas.
Yeah, make it real quick.
I think Deion Sanders fumbled a bag.
What is Deion Sanders happening?
No. So y'all remember?
So he was taken out.
So y'all remember Deion Sanders had two teams to choose from. It was Colorado and USF.
USF. Yeah.
FSU fumbled Deion Sanders. Let's be
FSU
clear.
FSU never had.
It was never in the running.
It was never a thing. It was a joke. But the thing was, University of South Florida had a team that was built for Deion. That's why they recruited him to come.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And then they also have Wester there too. They had one of their receivers started off at USF too.
But they had Devin Brown at quarterback.
Yep.
That was the issue. So that's why they went over to Colorado side.
One question for you, Deion.
Mm.
If you are a Florida fan.
Are you a Florida fan?
No, I said if.
Oh.
I said if. I'm not putting it on my brother. If you were a Florida fan, how would you feel going in these next 3 weeks?
I don't feel good at all. I'm not going to lie. Like, Miami, this is in Miami. Carson Beck, you know, he showed what he's capable of in his first game. LSU, Country saying that he can see him pulling it out in Death Valley. I can't see that as well, just seeing how dominant LSU has been so far this season. And then Texas, like we said before, Arch Manning, you know, we just gave him grace. It was a bad game, not a bad season for them. I don't really see much hope for real, if I'm being honest.
Can I be controversial for a second?
Go ahead. We know. Devil's advocate. Come on.
If Billy Napier makes it to that Texas game in the swamp with a young quarterback,
okay,
we've seen this story play out plenty of times.
So are you saying, like, if they lose these two or split LSU and Miami?
No. If they drop LSU and Miami, it's going to be up to the graces of Scott Strickland at AD. But if he makes it to that Texas game, I don't see Florida, you know, getting blown out of that game. I think that's a very competitive game. If he gets that win, you buy him another week.
I don't think the Florida offense can really rock with the
I think
the
they can.
Defense. I don't, bro.
If they clean up the penalties, I'm not going to lie, if they clean up the penalties, they score at least four different touchdowns on USF. That's no longer a game.
But this is Texas we're talking about.
And then, like, you need everything. You need it from the play calling. The play calling wasn't.
Like, he needs an offensive coordinator.
His game management is some of the worst in college football I've ever seen. Yeah. Second to Mario Cristobal, which we will get to later in the show, I'm sure.
Yeah. The execution, he has to be from top to bottom, has to be executed to a T. If something is off, I don't see him being Texas. But, fellas, week three slate of college football, I think, it's up there as far as week one goes, as far as good slate of games.
Yes, sir.
No, week one was a little different, though. That week one,
week one was different just because of the simple fact we haven't had football in so long, but also the games were good, too.
The games were good. Week two, I don't know what happened.
I think week one disappointed me.
Week two had some great upsets, though.
Yeah, week two had some great upsets.
Yeah.
Shout out Navy. Not Navy, but
shout
Army.
Shout out Army.
Oh, beating Kansas State.
Nobody saw that game.
Shout out Mississippi State, too.
Can we talk about how disappointing Kansas State has been all season?
Yes. This is bad.
It's been bad.
It's bad, but fellas, we're going to talk about our predictions, our game predictions for week three. Now, before we get that addressed, here are the records for college football. I'm 6-4.
Boo.
Mike's 4-5.
Mm-hmm. Expected.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm not last, though.
Q is 3-7. Yeah, he's not last.
Exactly.
Q is 3-7.
Don't got to be one. Just don't got to be last.
Country, you're 5-4.
Leave me to the end.
Okay, leave you to the end. Jalen, you're 5-5. 500.
Break even.
Jason Berry, who's editing this podcast, you're 6-4. Deion is 1-0 just because last week was his first week.
Question.
Wes is 8-2.
Because I know ball.
Question.
What's your question?
We can move on to
it. Is this the so the records for this is editing or the records for NFL?
NFL,
no,
brother.
NFL. Okay. Yeah.
No, nothing has changed.
Look, we'll wait till later on the show. We can talk about NFL.
So, fellas.
No, we can't.
With that being said, first game, noon, who taking Clemson? Or Georgia Tech.
Listen, Clemson is on upset
Georgia
alert.
Tech.
Oh my gosh.
I'm taking GT.
I'm taking GT too.
I'm so mad with how much stock I put into Clemson, but I have to say, I don't really have faith in Georgia Tech's defense like that.
I'm taking Clemson.
I think Haynes King is a one-man show. Especially
that's a
on
show.
Offense. I mean, he is for sure.
That's a show.
That's a real good show.
I'm going Clemson. I'll take Clemson.
Country.
I'm going to need Clemson to continue to win because the way our SEC schedule is looking like, I need Clemson to at least so that record.
So that record, yeah. That resume for the record,
that
okay.
Look good. So I'm gonna always choose Clemson.
Mike. So it's just Mike and Deant for GT.
I got GT too.
Oh, Q has GT. Yes.
Just
okay. Just for fun.
I mean, I'll never edit this podcast.
I feel like Deanne's only saying just for fun just because he knows he's not editing. Because I just said that. But okay. Wisconsin at Alabama. Who are we taking?
Bama.
Bama. Bama. Bama.
Okay, everybody. It's another good game. Let's start with the Tennessee fan.
Tennessee.
UGA versus Tennessee. Who are we taking?
I'm taking Tennessee.
Tennessee.
You said UGA.
UGA hasn't
Georgia
popped off the screen.
Versus Tennessee.
Gunnar Stockton hasn't looked explosive to me. I'm going with Tennessee.
But yeah, Tennessee ain't played nobody.
Like, right. First, we just struggled against Austin Peay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goal line.
Them boys had heart at that goal line.
That was bad.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. With NIL, every game seemed competitive. Now everybody getting paid. I'm still going Joe.
But Austin Peay.
Huh?
Is it in Athens?
No, it's
in
Tennessee.
It's in Knoxville.
It's in Knoxville.
It's in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Joey Aguilar finna put y'all on notice. Josh Heupel finna put y'all on notice.
Wait.
It's in Rocky Top.
It's in Tennessee.
It's early in the season.
Like in Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Yes.
Oh man, let me say something. I'm still going Georgia.
Bet for sure.
You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna go Georgia. I don't think Tennessee has.
West?
No. Yeah.
You know, I think it'll be a show, but I think Georgia will win.
Y'all
I'm going Georgia.
Y'all playing it too safe.
So it's everybody. All right, great.
I'm playing it like I got the
Aguilar,
best record.
Aguilar's not ready for Georgia.
New number 18 in the AP poll, USF versus number 5, Miami.
So y'all know this week is the Florida Bowl. So like Miami's really playing the entire Florida.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. Genuinely.
Yeah. I'm going to go Miami, though.
I personally, the magic kind of ends here for USF. Yeah. In terms of out-of-conference play, I think they pick it back up when they go back to the American. But Miami, across the board, is way more disciplined. They have a way better offensive line. I'm going to go with Miami. USF, give them a shock in the first half.
Are they going to sweep the American? USF?
Yeah. I'm not sure. They still got to play Memphis. Tulsa is also a very tough team in the American.
Tulsa was in the American.
Tulane's also in that conference. I don't know if they're on the schedule with Tulane.
He met Tulane.
I'm going Miami, though.
Yeah.
Miami. Everybody's Miami?
Yes. Yeah. Miami.
Just talking about this game. Florida at Death Valley. LSU, who we taking?
Hey,
LSU.
Yeah, give me LSU.
I ain't gonna say it.
Go Tigers.
Hey, man.
Go Gators, baby.
Oh, my God. Come on. You,
like, give me the Heisman favorite, bro. Give me LSU.
Do you believe your own self,
Mike? You know you don't have to ask. If it's any game that goes LSU versus anybody, just know. You know who
I'm taking Florida, though.
Taking Florida. Okay. Maybe I should reverse it, and this week it should be college.
No, that's terrible. You gotta say that before.
So everybody but Mike for this game.
Yeah.
I need this graphic so bad, please.
Number 16, Texas A&M at number 8, Notre Dame. Who are we taking?
I still am not sold on Texas A&M secondary. I don't think that they have what it takes to grind out a run against Jeremiah Love. But Jeremiah Love hasn't really looked the same way this season.
I ain't gonna lie.
This Notre Dame team ain't really been.
Is this in College Station?
No, it's in South Bend. That's the reason why I'm going Notre Dame.
I'll go Notre Dame.
And I also say this too. I don't know, Marcus Freeman. It's like the earlier the start of the season has just never been the thing for him. It's just like when he get down the road, then he start adjusting. Like, but I still feel as though I like Notre Dame in this game. I think they dropped the ball with Miami.
I'll take Notre Dame.
So everybody's Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I'm taking
I'm
taking Notre Dame.
Okay. I was gonna say
everybody but Mike.
Last game, Vanderbilt at number 11, South Carolina. Who we taking?
This is gonna be a great game.
Give me Vandy.
This is gonna be
Give me Vandy.
Give me Lenore Sellers, man. Give me South Carolina.
I think they were adding to the Sellers campaign with highlight clips from this game.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm gonna take SC.
So everybody, okay. South Carolina, but Q.
Yes, I'm going Vandy.
Damn, Q sound like a new mic.
Man, I might want to switch.
It's too late. You got to say it before the show.
I mean, you saw them put up 44 on VT.
Just because how funny it is.
You saw them put up 44 at VT.
You got to say it before the show.
I should have said it before the show.
A great defensive team either, though.
But, I mean, this is at VT. I mean, but South Carolina just played them the week before. And
they only put up 24.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But with that being said, fellas, we're going to move into some NFL talk. Now, Mike, it's been a bad week. Ooh. Friday, Kansas City Chiefs. Down in Brazil, loss to the Chargers 27-21.
Not gonna lie, I didn't see that coming.
Why y'all say that? Like,
why are we always like
Justin Herbert?
Like, Justin Herbert. We didn't see it because Quentin Johnston caught 2 touchdowns, bro. That's why we didn't see it.
It's week one.
87-year-old Keenan Allen caught a touchdown, bro. That's why we didn't see it coming.
It's week one.
Bro.
All we gotta do is get to January. And we know who gonna show up.
So Mike, but time out though.
We didn't say the season was cooked. We just said we didn't expect them to lose to the Chargers.
My question to you guys is, with the lack of depth at the wide receiver room for the Kansas City Chiefs, are the Chiefs in for a long haul this season?
No.
Honestly, I don't even think the wide receiver is the issue. I think it's the running backs. Pacheco just doesn't look like how he looked like rookie year.
I don't know what happened
and then,
with him.
And then Kareem Hunt, in the big 2-5, what are we doing?
Can we be honest? What great receiving core has Pat Mahomes took to Super Bowl? He's had a mid-tier receiving core at best in every single one of his games.
But let's not act like down the stretch of last season before Rasheed Rice got injured against the Chargers, ironically. He was on a tear.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I feel like as long as you have, I can't believe I'm saying this, as long as you have 15 in the backfield, I feel like he can elevate any receiving core that you put out there for him.
Well,
the biggest question mark is what they're doing at receiver. Because why is at defensive back? Because why is Keenan Allen scoring a touchdown in the big 2025?
Now, let me tell you that their wide receiver room is Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown.
He looks kind of good.
Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah.
And man. Jason Brownlee.
That's like a 75 overall receiving room.
The receiving room is not even a...
But like Hollywood had like 100 yards.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
On how many targets?
The receiving room is not the problem.
That was receptions.
He had 16 targets.
Whoa.
99 yards on 16 targets.
Golly, wait.
He only had 5 catches, 5 or 6?
10.
Yeah, he had 10 catches?
Yeah.
Really?
But he had a...
Well, I missed part of the game.
He also had a 49-yard catch too, so...
Hey man, I think they got away from their snap and shoot offense they were using at the end of the season. Like they had Mahomes like dropping back and like trying to see them cooking. Those receivers are not going to separate, bro. Go back to the snap and shoot. Go back to the RPO. Why those seasons? But, only person who can separate is Marquise Brown. He can't catch.
But can you do RPO with running backs that aren't effective? Because if nobody's biting, then
and let me also add on. You're playing against Philly this week. Then you go to New York and play Abdul Carter and that nasty defensive line. Then you play Baltimore. I mean, granted, they did just blow a lead.
We're not talking about it, Jeff.
We're going to talk about it. That three-game stretch, it's kind of just like, I don't know what to expect from that offense.
They're going
to
be 2-3 heading into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, heading into that Detroit Lions game. And I think they'll lose to Baltimore, and I think they'll lose to Philly. And will I sweat? No. Because they have 15. Because then they got Detroit, Las Vegas, Washington. That Buffalo game is going to be a great game. They could probably lose that game. And then after that, they're probably going to run the table. Denver, Indiana, Dallas, Houston, Chargers again.
Denver is no slouch.
They're not a slouch.
Denver did not look that good this
They're not a slouch,
weekend,
but
bro.
Offensively, they didn't look
if
that
Cam
good.
Ward's receivers would catch the ball, Denver would have a loss right now. So I'm riding with the Chiefs to win out after once they hit November 16th, they're gonna win out.
Hey bro, the Lions didn't look good either. Like I don't know. There's not gonna be a Chiefs season where they win 15
games.
It's
just week one.
It's not gonna be a Chiefs season where they dominate the division. But do I see them not making the playoffs?
Nah, they'll be like the third or fourth seed.
And then when they see Justin Herbert in the playoffs and he throws 5 picks or something ridiculous randomly, like they're going to get to the second round.
That's a projection for right now. We can talk about Justin Herbert right now.
He's still overrated.
He had a great game.
Very much still
overrated. He's still overrated, bro.
Yes, this is nice to do this in the regular season, but what did you do in the playoffs last time we seen you? That's what matters.
What are we critiquing right now? Are we talking about the game he just played, or are we talking about his career, man?
The game was nice.
Talking about the game. The game he just played.
The game he just played. It was a good game.
The game was nice, but it doesn't matter. The game was nice, but it doesn't matter.
Well, it's a new season, Shroom. Yeah. No. The old season is over.
No, because when Lamar Jackson lost last night, will he ever be able to beat Josh Allen?
Hey, bro, I didn't say that. No one said that.
That loss was on Derrick.
Did you not just say that when you walked in here?
Hey, I'm addressing it. We keep bringing it up. I'm addressing it.
We're going to address it later. We're going to address it later.
I need my time on it. I can do about 35 minutes on it, bro. So give me my time.
And I'll give you 35 more.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, me and Q gonna have to get out the same room, bro. Like someone let me in the other studio.
So Deanne, what's your take on the Kansas City Chiefs as what you saw in week one?
Shoot, I'm a big Justin Herbert fan, so like
oh my goodness.
Yes.
He played
Speak about it.
He played a good game. He never really plays bad against the Chiefs, if I'm being honest.
That's true, actually.
He gives them a run for their money every time. So like I think he played a good game. The Chiefs stuck in there for what they had. Really just got to see what the rest of the season looks like with the wide receiver room, and just overall, like, if they can, you know, come back from this for real, for real.
I feel like I saw a new life in Justin Herbert. Like, there was new get up about him.
Yeah. He did.
Like, he had, like, a get up about himself when he got out the pocket. Like,
he actually used his legs.
Dropping his shoulder a little bit on some scrambles.
Listen, quick analysis about that game. The Chiefs coming out in like the first half looked like penalties and not being able to get screens off and like just simple stuff that like that's you don't see the Chiefs. Like the Chiefs is like we all agree is like one of the best coached organizations. When they come out week one, they don't come out dropping screens and they don't come out getting penalties and they don't come out, you know, dropping like easy passes and not getting like first and second down, like positive yards. And that's what we saw in the first half. And the Chargers, for whatever, like whatever got into them, like they played from beginning to end good. And like that, the Chiefs didn't have the time to come back. Like they looked better in the second half. We saw Mahomes become Mahomes, but there wasn't enough time on the clock because they started off very slow.
Their leading rusher was Patrick Mahomes with 57 yards.
Exactly.
But, that's the biggest problem. Pat was kind of cooking, though. Like, I saw dead. Pat from Pat's 2020, bro. Pat was looking different. Justin Herbert and Pat were actually in their bag, kind of. But, like, Pat had no help. No run game.
I'm saying that's the problem.
Dropping the ball. Like, Pat needs some help, man.
He'll be fine.
Speaking about another team that needs some help, no offensive coordinator, no defensive coordinator.
Yeah, man.
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, my gosh.
They looked awful.
They disappointed a lot of people yesterday.
Disappointed y'all, too.
Yeah.
Disappointed y'all, too.
Yo.
Just what are you guys' takeaways with Detroit only scoring a touchdown in the fourth quarter? What's your thoughts on the game?
Listen, so obviously it's a big switch up when, you know, you lose an offensive coordinator offensively. But we've seen Baker in Tampa. I know, you know, Jay Scott is very happy about this. Look very good 3 years in a row, even though he's lost his offensive coordinator every time. So there's no excuse for Detroit to have the talent they have, because to be honest, the Bucs don't have as much talent as the Lions, and they looked awful. And I know Micah Parsons was there, and Micah Parsons played a great game, but you can do that. There's just no excuse for it, bro. Like, they didn't lose the offensive line. They didn't lose Jahmyr Gibbs. They didn't lose Amon-Ra. There was no reason. And, like, Jared Goff, I've said this for forever, he looks terrible under pressure. But, like, he shouldn't have to be under. So, like, there should be able to do something on the offensive end. And just a terrible offense makes your defense even worse. And they were already playing bad. It's just, it's a coaching issue over there in Detroit, and they need to fix it.
They didn't have no run game either.
Nope.
They didn't look inspired. Like, Green Bay looked like they was ready. It's week one. Let's go. Let's start off on the right foot. And Detroit just came out flat. And just, you could tell from the beginning of the game, like, this is going to be a long game from Detroit. Because Green Bay was just Jordan Love was throwing the ball everywhere. Yeah. Green Bay just had success in every facet of the game.
I feel like a lot of the success you'll see from Green Bay this year is getting out ahead of teams very early. Jordan Love looked very comfortable in the pocket earlier, which is something that you can't say about a lot of teams in the NFC. I feel like the passing attack at the NFC is going to be some of the best in NFL. That's just how it is. But Jordan Love looked extremely comfortable back there. I really liked what I saw out of the receiving core. They were able to move the ball pretty much with ease, but towards the bottom, back end of the stretch, like I think it was Wes that touched on it, like the Lions just looked unmotivated. Like they didn't look like they wanted to be in the game. I think one of the things that they couldn't do really was run the ball as efficiently as they would wanted to. Once you can't control the line of scrimmage, you can't really control the game. Micah Parsons looked great with the Packers. I told you guys.
Quay Walker too?
Absolutely. I told you guys from the get-go, I wasn't sold on the Lions not having an OC and not having a DC. We were going to see what the repercussions of that were going to be. And lo and behold, here it is. You lose 27-13 in a pretty crucial, if you look at the way the Lions' schedule is set up, it's a game that really can't afford to lose to the Packers this early, because you only have, what, one or two more goes at them at the end of the season. And with how volatile the NFC is, those 1-2 games really count for something.
Is it crazy for me to say Jordan Love might be an MVP conversation?
Yes, I said that last year.
It's crazy.
I said that last year.
No. Jordan Love is no longer a quarterback we haven't seen before. We know what's going to happen. Jordan Love's going to throw some impressive touchdowns. Jordan Love's going to make some great plays. And Jordan Love's going to throw 12 picks. And it's
thank you. That was what I was looking for.
I'm just saying, from this game alone, with a 92 QBR rating, he looked decent. You can't take it away.
He looked like a good guy.
You know, I'm early with these predictions.
He's a good quarterback. I can't take that away from him. But an MVP is crazy, especially after the Ravens-Bills game we watched. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah.
Do I get my time?
Matter of fact, we can talk about it right now.
Let's go.
Hey, so
cut everybody's mic. I'm ready.
Wait. Can we not touch on the Bucks just real fast? Just
for what?
Let him get it. Let him good get game, it. Because I'm gonna go.
Game, that's cool.
Good game. Right, go ahead. What's your take on the Bucks game?
Bigger news here.
Huh?
It's bigger news out here.
Listen, I know
it's true.
It's going to take up a large portion. I just want to say that I told you guys from last spring that the Bucks had one of the most complete draft classes from top to bottom.
Agreed.
It's going to show this season. Emeka Buka, get used to hearing that name.
Dog.
That boy's a dog.
I had him on my bench.
Baker.
Dog. Facts. I had him on my bench. I was mad.
Baker Mayfield.
It's okay. I learned.
Dog. He is a sleeper, I think, for Offensive Player of the Year.
Who?
Baker Mayfield.
Anywho,
that's not crazy.
Jeff, before I get into that, I'm mad at your kicker because I had Baker on my Falcons kicker on my fantasy team, and I wanted him to get another drive in to get to like 30 points. He stopped at like 24. I was mad.
So last night, probably the AFC Championship game in my eyes, potentially the game of the year, and it was week one. The Buffalo Bills came back and scored 16 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to come back and beat the Baltimore Ravens. Now, a lot of people said, and we kind of touched on it last week, but a lot of people said, you know, Lamar Jackson got stolen that MVP.
He did, bro. They popped up the stats. It was ridiculous, bro.
After this game,
Josh threw for 37, bro.
It looked like Josh Allen deserved MVP.
I just want to read off this fourth quarter stat line from Josh.
No, bro.
251 yards and three touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone.
Hey, bro, that doesn't tell the whole story, bro. Don't be a box stat guy.
I'm going to give it to the Baltimore Ravens fan to start off first because you had a rant a couple episodes ago. Yes, he is. He had a rant saying, it's always voodoo and a lot of stuff that goes on.
Black magic.
Jeff, I feel seen by you saying that, bro, because it is black magic, bro. Derrick Henry. One of the best running backs of all time. Not fumble. He fumbles at a Q.
Give credit to
Tell Josh Allen to buy Ed Oliver a Rolex. He had the best game of his whole career, bro. Like,
that's what I was going to say.
Ed Oliver had a great game, but the fumble was nuts. What was even crazier, we got to stop to stay up too. What do? We call the same exact play, bro, and the same exact thing happens. And Oliver gets to stop. He just doesn't fumble. And then we go back to another play, a handoff to Zay and the jet motion that has gotten 0 yards all game. We do it again. And then we give the ball to Lamar. Hey, Jeff, stop looking at me like that, bro. And then we finally let Lamar get the ball. He gets 7 yards. We should have done that first. Hey, man, it is black magic. And I understand, you know, it's the way the cookie crumbles, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's how the game goes, man. If you let it come back, they come back.
I see.
But you just got to see it, man. You see the black magic, and it happens every year. Last year, it was against the Raiders. We was up like 14, 17 points in the fourth. We lost. The year before, it was the Colts. The year before, it was the Lions, but we saved ourselves in like a 67-yard field. I cannot stand as a Ravens fan, bro. It's black magic, bro. Go ahead, Q.
All I want to say is I see a team that wanted it more. Now I'm not gonna sit here and act like that the Bills defense was good because it was not. It was horrible. I'm not gonna sit here and act like I thought we were gonna win this game because I didn't.
Let's talk about one more thing. Tyler Loop makes the extra point. It would have been a tie game. What are we doing? Like extra points?
Hey. He's a rookie first year, whatever you want to call him.
No one misses extra points in college, bro, and he was one of the best kickers out of college since, like, Justin Tucker, bro. Like, it's crazy.
Justin Tucker gone now.
He is gone, missing an extra point is so wild.
But also, you got to go back to that two-point conversion. When Keon Coleman got pushed out of the end zone, that should have been illegal contact. But they called it illegal touching, and we wouldn't have been in that position anyways. Bills could have won the game without having to complete a two-point conversion or complete a field goal. But regardless of that, I love what I saw from the Bills in the fourth quarter. Not the rest of the game. We're not even gonna talk about that because that was a bad.
Bro, I have so many thoughts, bro. Like, but Josh Allen is one of the second best running quarterback in the league, and all the Ravens D line could do was fall down at his feet, bro. They were always on the ground. It's Lamar Jackson. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
Said he's second best.
No, Josh Allen is second best.
Second best running QB?
Nah, it's him.
Nah, I disagree.
Nah, it's him.
K1.
No, it's not, but cool.
K1.
There's just a better choice over K1.
Yeah.
K1 not top three.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
K1's not running over anybody.
But continue.
But I love the fight that I saw from the Bills. And, I mean, I think it's a testament to the coaching and just who they are as a team. And
this means y'all losing the playoffs. I hope you know that.
For sure.
We're getting our get back. We gave it to y'all so we could win in the playoffs.
Sure. I mean, you can have it at this point. But I mean, but also this game is big to Seton. Who's to say this game, the rematch, is going to be in Orchard Park again? And then y'all got to go through that whole process.
No, we don't
again.
Care where we play.
All right. You sure about that? Y'all don't care where y'all play?
No, not at all.
Y'all should.
Not even a little bit.
All right, but
you like the cold.
But I mean, I love what I saw.
Hey, bro, you don't want to see us in the snow because you got to run the ball in the snow.
We got James Cook.
We got Derek. And Derek gave me some ball, didn't he?
But he had 200 yards.
He had 200 yards.
That was his one mistake.
He's not even supposed to be doing that at 31.
It wasn't enough.
He shouldn't have done that at all.
It wasn't enough.
Amen.
And then I love what I saw from Keon Coleman.
Who was it?
Oh, yeah, Keon Coleman.
You know, people had a lot of questions about Keon Coleman going into his second year. You know, can he do this? Can he do that? Can he separate? He still can't really separate. But he made play. He made plays when it mattered, and he was by far the X factor.
You know why he was so good, bro? It's because he went to FSU.
All right.
Okay. That's, I mean, also a Michigan State product, but.
Nah, not really.
And he also from Louisiana.
Yeah, let's factor that part. I don't know about the Florida State part.
shout out to Opelousas, him and CD Lamb. Shout out to them.
Hey, bro,
shout out
to Louisiana. That one safety still sees Derrick Henry in his dreams, bro. His brain.
We're not gonna
scrambled.
Talk about Cole Bishop.
You talking about Cole Bishop?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy?
His brain still scrambled.
I played him in basketball back in middle school, elementary school. Oh, that's the funny part. So when he got stiff arm, I said, "Oh,
he got his head dribbled."
that was the concern with the Bills. It's the safeties, Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop. That's going to be the question for the entire season. So I don't know if Buffalo is going to address the safety position or not, but something needs to shake because that defense, I was not impressed.
Ed Oliver needs a raise.
He does.
I don't know what he's getting paid, but pay him more.
He's getting paid a lot, but
more.
I have one question before we end off the show. I have one question for you.
Yeah.
When you saw that fumble, what was, I know you got a jersey on, right? I know you did.
I did have a jersey on.
What jersey was it?
Ray Lewis.
Oh,
that's a good jersey.
That's a great jersey.
It is a good jersey.
But like, did you like take the jersey off and throw it down on the ground?
Absolutely
like,
not. I would never disrespect him like that.
So then what was going through your mind when you saw the fumble?
I was thinking, you know, at that point we were up 8. I was like, we're going to get this stop and then we're just going to get a first down and win this game. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the first play call and I knew we lost. Mm. We caught the same exact, like the same side. Didn't even flip it. Like the same exact play in the eye. And Ed Oliver made the tackle again, bro.
Mm. And again, yeah, that fourth down decision. Why? I just knew. I knew after that third down. I was like,
yeah, why'd y'all punt?
They gonna do a read option and they gonna get the fourth down.
Because analytics said y'all should have went for it.
Hey, man, analytics said we don't run the same play that caused the fumble the last time we ran it too, but we still ran it.
You have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Run a read option to get you 3 yards.
Y'all telling me this like I call the plays. I know.
But y'all gave it back, bro, and got walked down.
You can see when the play calling went from Todd Monken to John Harbaugh, bro, because Todd Monken was calling some crazy stuff. He was putting Zay in motion. He was getting them going. We were throwing the ball, and then John was like, run it 3 times. And then, like, I could have called a better fourth quarter.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Do.
But now we're getting to our NFL Week 2 picks, a.k.a.
Can we list off the records, please?
Ambassador.
If you are just tuning into the Playmakers, this is something that we do every episode. We will go through a list of NFL games just to see who truly knows ball. If you know ball, you know, you get to live to see another week, make some great picks, some questionable picks at that. If you don't know ball, you learn Adobe Audition. Today's Adobe Audition ambassador is not here. Shout out our guy, JB,
Shout out JB, man.
But before we get into that, fellas, Monday night, I'm just reading it out. Just make sure everything's correct. We all have Minnesota other than Q, correct?
Correct.
I didn't make a pick.
It don't matter anyway.
You're for week 2. But speaking about picks and records, my record, I'm 10-5. Q, you are 12-3.
12-3.
Oh, wow. Wes, you are 11-4.
Naturally.
Jalen, you are 12-3.
Yes, sir.
JB's in the podcast for some reason. You're 8-7. And DeAnt, you are 12-3 as well.
Yes, sir.
Mike and Country, y'all both 1-1. Just based off the Thursday night game, Thursday and Friday night, y'all didn't make no picks after, so we're just gonna leave it at that.
At least everybody's 500.
What pick am I?
You're 1-1.
I made a pick for that.
Yes.
What I said? I said Eagles and Chiefs.
Yes, you know what you said. I don't know why you asked. Okay. 1-1. Now week 2, Thursday night.
My fault. Question: is it overall or is it for the week? Like, editing?
Oh no, but this overall.
Oh, so editing's for the week. I mean, editing's for overall.
Yes.
Okay.
Editing is overall. You know the rules. Why are you asking these questions like you don't know the rules?
I forgot. My fault.
This is a West type of question.
What?
No, because he's been here. That's why I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
That.
I'm going to say you're unk, bro. Like, what do you know? You know how it goes.
But Thursday night football, who we taking? Commanders at Green Bay.
Commanders, baby.
You know,
Green Bay
Commanders.
Give me Green Bay. Parsons might.
I'm going Green Bay.
He might be. I'm going
Green Bay.
Man, J.D. Fogg getting away from that.
One of the things the Packers couldn't do was they could never press the ball against J.D. Fogg. They could not get to the quarterback to save their lives.
I'll take.
They got somebody for that now.
They got two: Quay Walker and Micah Parsons. Who we taking?
I'm taking the Commanders. I just want J.D. Fogg to win. I don't really.
All right, country.
I'm taking the Packers. Just to say, Micah Parsons looked very nasty with that number one.
Bro, yes. That junk is scary. So tight.
Yo, I don't like the number one. It's, make him New Jersey.
Yeah, make him like 51 or something.
Giants at Dallas. Who we taking?
Dallas.
The Cowboys.
Cowboys. They look good.
Yeah, Cowboys. Yeah,
give me Cowboys. Oh, yeah.
Country, man.
It's going to be close.
Hey, man, country, look. If close. I get a loss right here, I'm going Cowboys.
Then pick the Giants. I ain't telling you.
Bears at Detroit. Who Detroit. Are we taking, fellas?
Detroit.
No. I wish I could see how the Bears look tonight.
I would like to see that. You
and
know
that's
what?
Why we love record on Monday.
I'll take the Bears. I'll take Ben Johnson. Revenge.
I'm going to Bears.
Not revenge.
I'm going to go to Bears, too.
Give me Detroit.
Give me Detroit.
Give me the Bears.
Detroit? Deion?
Detroit.
Who else is Detroit?
Country.
Who you going with?
Jalen?
Detroit.
Okay.
Country going
to
Detroit.
Chicago.
This.
I'm going Chicago.
This Bears. Looks lopsided.
Bear down. Shout out Earn.
Nah, forget
See,
Bear
you
down.
Shouldn't have said that.
Forget Bear down. Next game, Rams at the Titans. Who are we taking?
Rams by Rams. A lot.
Rams.
Low-key.
Rams.
Yeah. Who did the Rams play this past week? They played the Texans.
D-line looked good, but also the Houston's O-line is terrible, so.
Yeah.
Wait.
Shout out Brady Fisk.
For the Titans, too. So.
Pats against the Dolphins. Who we taking?
Oh, my goodness.
This is a terrible game.
Patriots.
Hey, bro.
I might go. Yeah, I'm going Patriots.
Someone needs to.
Pats.
Patriots.
Pats. I'm going to retire.
I was not expecting that.
I would play devil's advocate, but I have a busy schedule.
The Dolphins look disgusting.
Yeah, I was not expecting
I lost,
that.
I lost money on them. I'll never pick them again.
Yo, you.
Mike, you going Pats?
Yeah, I'm going Pats.
Hey, Mike, we need to bet more.
Who else? Who else going Pats? Or is everybody going Pats?
Everybody
going Pats. All right, I'm getting a little nervous, y'all. San Fran. Versus the Saints.
Bang, bang,
San
Niner game. Let's do it.
I like how you talk to
San Fran. San Fran.
Hey, man.
Where's this game?
It don't matter.
New Orleans.
I'm going with New Orleans.
Give me New Orleans.
I'm going with the Niners.
Country.
Yeah,
Niners.
I guess y'all editing.
Niners for sure.
Tell me crazy. Stop throwing picks, though.
Crazy pool. Wes?
Niners.
Oh, okay. Just making sure now. Thought we had some crazy pools. Buffalo against the Jets. Who we taking?
Buffalo.
Yeah,
I don't
that's gonna be
pick.
That's gonna be a pretty.
It's gonna be close.
Gonna
you know what? It's gonna be closer than we. I really think. Like oh, yeah, what I saw at Justin Fields.
So put it down.
Huh? Absolutely.
I'm
not.
Going Buffalo.
No, I'm going Buffalo.
I'm
did you just see what he just did?
You're going to what?
Guess what?
I'm going to Jets.
Country's editing, fellas.
We just play Lamar Jackson. We can handle Justin Fields.
Country editing, fellas.
Can you, man?
I'd hope so.
This is gonna be a good game right here. Seattle versus Steelers. Who we taking?
Steelers.
I liked what
y'all
I saw.
Y'all said that
Aaron
too
Rodgers.
Fast.
Yeah, I did see.
Y'all said that way too fast.
Aaron Rodgers looking nice.
He definitely did. But
like 2022.
So wait, I got a question. Yeah. Since y'all want to go on the Jets take. So if the Jets had won against the Steelers, would y'all have the same conversation?
He still played a good game.
They still play the Bills. Yeah. I think
that's really what it is. If they play the Bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to Steelers.
I'm going
to Steelers.
Steelers. Yeah.
Everybody Steelers?
Everybody? Yeah.
Steelers.
Yeah.
Everybody Steelers?
Yeah.
You know what?
This isn't a fun graphic.
I'm going Seattle.
Nah, it's country.
I'm going Seattle.
You deviated a little bit.
Nah, bro. Sam Darnold.
I'm going Seattle. They had me spooked for a second. They had me spooked for a second. I'm going Seattle. Cleveland versus the Ravens. I think it's a clean sweep.
Oh my goodness. That's
clean.
That might be a 52.
I think it's a clean sweep.
That might be a 48-0
There's some aggression to take out. I mean, there's some aggression. You know?
When they talk about Lamar winning MVP, they're going to pull
Cleveland
up these highlights.
Versus the Ravens.
I got both.
Bro, Derrick Henry's about to be a top five running back of all time from this game, bro. He's going to
That might. Yeah, that's going to be a massacre. I'm sorry.
Broncos versus the Colts. This is very interesting because Daniel Jones.
Why did the Colts look so good, bro?
I'm not gonna lie.
It's week one. It's the week one Colts. They always look good.
I'm not gonna lie.
I'm going Denver though.
Give me Denver.
Yeah, give me Denver.
Yeah.
Give me Denver.
You're not gonna lie, Colts. I got you. Write it down, Mike.
Yo. Yeah, I'm going to Colts.
Okay. Wes.
I'll take Denver.
For sure. Country.
I'm taking. What's the call? I'm saying Indy.
Oh my god.
Country.
Hey, bro, every week I'll never edit, man. Like, it'll never happen.
I won't ever touch this again.
Panthers against the Cardinals.
Who K1, baby.
Cardinals.
I'm going to take it.
Panthers versus Cardinals.
You're a B9. You're a Bryce Young guy, so I'm surprised.
I am a B9 guy. But I'm also a B9 guy.
Has he earned the title B9?
Yes.
Hey, bro, the Panthers are really bad. Yeah. I'll take the Cardinals.
Yeah, okay. Cardinals.
So everyone?
Yeah.
Even the secondhand Panthers fan?
Bro, I was disappointed. That Jags game, oh my gosh.
Now, this is a great game right here. Eagles versus the Chiefs.
You know, I told myself I'd never pick against Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to go Birds, man. I hurt my pride to say that, but go Birds.
I miss when Patrick Mahomes was throwing like 50 Eagles yards fine. Every play, bro.
I mean, he could try it.
Yeah, I'll go Eagles. Yeah,
he could try it on Cooper DeJean and Quinion Mitchell.
I'm still going to go Kansas City.
I'm going to go Kansas City, too.
I'm going to go
Eagles. Wait, where's the game? So y'all attack. It's in Kansas City. So y'all tag team in this episode, right?
Nah, he picked the
Hey, bro, you used Spaceboy, bro. I'll scroll.
He picked the Jets.
Highlight.
He picked the Jets over the Bills.
Wes, who are you taking for this game?
I'm taking the Eagles, man.
I got Eagles.
Eagles? Okay, cool. Sunday night football. Falcons at Minnesota. Who are we taking?
Minnesota.
I
liked what I saw out of Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Give me Atlanta.
Just don't leave it up to the kicker. But yeah.
Wait, is Drake London going to be there? It's going to be because he's on my fantasy team too, so I need to know this. Is Drake London going to be healthy?
I ain't going to lie. This ain't kind of fair because I really want to see what Minnesota look like.
It's not fair, but that's what we record on Mondays.
You know what? I'm taking Atlanta because I have no faith in J.J. McCarthy. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. I didn't have any faith in him.
Hey,
in Michigan,
shout out Tristan.
Bro.
He's like J.J. McCarthy's number one hater.
So everybody's Atlanta.
Except me.
Except Mike. Yep, you're editing.
And I'll double down.
Also,
I'm also Minnesota with it.
Oh my god.
Guess their tag team.
Agent Terrell's gonna put that seatbelt.
Y'all gonna share headphones?
Jettis.
Jay Jettis?
Man.
All right, Bucks or Texans, who we got?
Monday Night Football, doubleheader. Bucks at Houston playing the Texans.
I'm gonna go Tampa Bay, Jalen.
No, I got man. Yeah.
I'm going Tampa Bay.
Give me Houston.
Fire the
cannons. Give me Houston.
Do I go Bucks?
Fire the cannons.
And I like CJ.
CJ always look really good in the beginning of the season.
CJ can't go 0-2.
I don't like it, but they put up 9 points. I'm not picking them. I gotta see.
That game winning touchdown was a catch by Abuga, bro. I like what I see, man.
Antoine Winfield is gonna give Stroud some issues too.
10 o'clock game.
Is Devin Singletary? Devin Singletary.
Shout out Devin Singletary, former Buffalo Bill.
So is everybody but me and quarter. Q for the Texans. Healthy?
You choose the Texans?
I'm going Texans, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Texans. Yeah.
I'm going Houston.
You're tripping.
I'm going Houston.
Oh, country. Okay, country. Okay, right, you might get a win with us, baby.
You got to put this one towards the top of the graphic.
Last game, doubleheader, like I just said, 10 o'clock game. Chargers versus the Raiders. Who are we taking?
I'm taking Chargers. LA.
Where's this game? Well, actually, it don't matter.
Chargers
don't have home field advantage.
I'm taking Vegas.
I'm taking Chargers.
Give me Vegas.
Chargers.
Vegas.
Give me Vegas.
So Q and Mike.
And country.
Actually, I don't want to say.
And country.
I'm
taking LA.
Oh, that's what I thought.
They still Oakland to me.
So me and.
Give me the Raiders.
Yep.
I bet.
Give me the Chargers.
Yep.
Charge me up, man.
Well, we're getting to the favorite part of the show, my part of the show. Shout outs. I want to first start off by saying I want to first thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Another full house outside of JB. Good luck editing this podcast, my brother. I want to shout out my family, my friends, and shout out me, man. Shout out 49ers. We want to know. Hello.
Man, gotta shout out my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we love, make these bold predictions. Shout out my family, my sisters, my parents, my brother. Gotta give a shout out to Paolo Banchero, man. 2026 MVP. 2025-2026 NBA MVP.
What are we doing?
Shout out Franz Wagner. Jeremy's going to win the Eurobasket. Man, shout out Jalen Suggs and Anthony Black, too. They've been grinding in a practice facility.
you know that they've been there?
For sure.
What about Jet Howard?
Jet Howard, he's going to be out of here after this year. He can't shoot. He's a shooter.
Shout out to the guys.
Shout out Jace Richardson too. Oh, man. Michigan State product. Hey, right,
bro,
I'm out.
I don't know if they can hear you, bro.
I want to shout out the guys in the studio, man. Shout out God. Shout out Nagoya. You will be seeing me very soon here. 6-piece sushi, double
shout
rice,
out Mike, man.
Steak on the way on Mike's tab. I appreciate you, my boy. Looking forward to the next episode, guys.
I want to start off by thanking God, of course. Shout out my family. Shout out my friends. Hey, man, shout out JD5, man. Shout out Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, man. Shout out Debo Samuels, man. Debo Samuels, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. That's it.
All right. I want to shout out God. I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out the playmakers. I want to shout out Lamar Jackson. I want to shout out Derrick Henry. I forgive you.
Oh, no.
Derrick, you know, you hurt me, but I'm still here, man. I'm still support you.
Shout out to my Lord and Savior. Shout out mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to Rankin County, Mississippi. Shout out to Stark, Vegas, Starkville. Shout out to Mississippi State. Ring those cowbells, whatever you want to call it. Shout out Blake Shapen, Brendan Thompson, Kamario Taylor. And then shout out to Buffalo Bills, man. Josh Allen, Keon Coleman.
Do not shout them.
1-0. Go Bills.
Man, shout out to the Dallas Cowboys, man. Just keep the thing rolling. You know, we still got Keith Faith. Shout out to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the greatest city in the world. You heard me? Shout out to LSU. Go Tigers. We trying to get a natty this year. Y'all already know what it is. Shout out to fam, you know, give me my degree in May.
Halftime the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.